Capernaum is one of the prettiest places you could ever hope to visit. I don't know what it is that you have in your mind's eye when you imagine Capernaum or the Sea of Galilee, but I can almost guarantee you that it is not nearly as beautiful as it is in real life. I still remember my first experience of seeing the Sea of Galilee on my first trip with Melody. We rented a car and we drove up from Jerusalem and we crested the hill and we descended down the mountainside toward the glittering waters of the Sea of Galilee, towards the little string of villages on the north side of the lake where Capernaum is located. And it was so beautiful it brought tears to my eyes. The whole region around the lake is lush and verdant, dotted with orchards and with fields of grain. Dozens of different species of birds make their nests in the tall and stately eucalyptus that surround the shoreside. It's just stunning. And the ruins of the ancient city of Capernaum sit right there in the midst of all of that idyllic beauty and tranquility. And so when you visit for the very first time, it quickly makes sense why it is that Jesus decided to make this place of all places home base for the start of his ministry. I mean, Nazareth is nice. Bethlehem, you know, it's fine. But Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee, now, that's remarkable. He could have gone to bed at night after a long day of teaching and healing, and fallen asleep to the sound of the lapping waves on the stony shore, and woken up in the morning to a breeze cool off the surface of the water and the sunlight dappling over its little waves. And not only was it beautiful, it was and still is small, very peaceful. And so Jesus would have quickly come to know everyone. He would have quickly come to know all of their stories, very quickly been able to make a very real and significant impact on this small and peaceful place. With such an ideal place for a home, it is no wonder that Jesus had a hard time leaving it. According to Mark's gospel, after spending a bit of time there and coming to a greater sense of awareness of his power and purpose, Jesus realized that he had a decision to make. Should he stay? Stay in idyllic Capernaum and continue to help this group of beloved people in this peaceful and seaside village? Or did he need to venture out to go to other places to spread his love to even more people? It seems from the Gospels that the answer was not obvious. I've sat in the little cave just up the hillside from Capernaum where tradition says Jesus retreated for that time of prayer for clarity and guidance. I've sat in that cave and I figure a night of prayer for Jesus is roughly equivalent to, you know, 7 years of prayer for the rest of us. It's like dog years in Jesus. And at the end of it, he'd made up his mind. He had to leave. "Let us go on to the neighboring towns," he said, "so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." In the 1960s, a priest named Vincent Donovan was sent to take over a Christian missionary outpost in the Maasai land of Tanzania. The Maasai, as many of you may know, are the tribal people who live on the high plains of East Africa and Kenya and Tanzania in the midst of all of that rare and raw natural beauty. Before Father Vincent's arrival, for nearly 100 years, the church had maintained a missionary outpost in that place with a church and several small schools and a significant hospital. Now, missionary theory at this time in the 1960s said that if you introduce much-needed services to an area like this, if you introduce things like schools and hospitals, well, then the people will come to you. And they will see that you are offering them something valuable that they don't have, something valuable for their lives. And so even as you teach their children or offer much-needed medicine to the community, you will then have opportunities to share the gospel. It makes some logical sense, I think. Except Father Vincent learned that in the 100 years that the mission had existed in Maasai land, not one Maasai had become a practicing Christian. It's not a great ratio. Father Vincent very quickly realized the absurdity of expecting the local people to want to learn Christianity simply because the mission happened to be there. He realized that evangelism does not happen by osmosis. So if he wanted his neighbors to know something about the gospel, he realized that he was going to have to do something a little bit different than had been done for the previous 100 years. Instead of staying within the safe enclave of the mission, with its schools and hospital and little church, he would have to venture out beyond those walls, out to where the people actually were. And in a letter to his bishop, Father Vincent wrote, "I suddenly feel the urgent need to cast aside theories and discussions, all efforts at strategy, and simply go to these people and do the work among them for which I came to Africa. Just go out and talk to them about God and the Christian message. Outside of this, I have no theory, no plan, no strategy, no gimmicks, no idea of what will come. I feel rather naked. I will begin as soon as possible." Eventually, Father Vincent did indeed go out and live among the Maasai in order to share more directly about God and about Christ and about the hope of the gospel. He had some successes and he had some failures. It took him some time to learn how to truly share in the lives of those people. And in the end, after spending many months with them, several villages did choose to be baptized all together. But in order to get to that point, he had to leave behind the beautiful, safe, peaceful, idyllic little mission so that he would not be a part of another fruitless century of missionary work. Father Vincent, you see, realized that he was living in his own sort of Capernaum, his own perfect, safe little place, and he was going to need to step outside of it if he was ever going to share the good news with anyone new. This past week, I made my annual pilgrimage down the hill to the Snyder Building to Parish Episcopal School's Lost and Found. It's located in a quiet little hallway off of the gym just down the hill. This time of year, with the cold mornings and usually warm and sunny afternoons, the sweaters and fleeces and jackets and hats and gloves that children arrive at school in the morning with get scattered hither and yon throughout the day, and so the Lost and Found does some brisk business. When Melody pointed out to me that both of our girls seemed to be missing a few items, I knew right where to begin the search, as I do this time of year every year. I needed to start in that quiet little hallway. And as I rifled through the mass of fleeces and jackets and sad little solitary mittens, I had this moment of realization. I think many of us look at the church like a sort of lost and found. When we feel like we are missing God, we come to the church in order to find Him. We think, I seem to have set God down somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where, but I think I know where I'll start looking. I'll go to church. And this is beautiful and poignant and lovely, and I give great thanks that for so many of us, our first impulse when we realize that we have lost God somewhere in our lives, our first impulse for many of us is to return to church. I give thanks for that. The problem, though, is that we assume that everyone else knows where the lost and found is too. If they are looking for God, we tell ourselves, they will eventually come looking here too. And they'll find Him, because, you know, obviously God lives here. We know that if people will simply show up and walk through our doors and come in and take a seat in our comfortable pews, they will realize what it is they've been missing, what it is they'd lost, what it is they've been yearning for all this time. And yet, the life of Jesus shows us that God does not live in specific buildings any more than He lives in idyllic, peaceful seaside towns. God is not sitting around and waiting for people to wake up and come to their senses to realize that they've been missing Him and then go looking for Him in their closest inclusive Episcopal church. Just like the disciples had to follow Jesus out beyond the safety and peaceful perfection of Capernaum, we also have to wake up and realize that Jesus is concerned with far more than what happens in our buildings. We are no more the totality of Jesus' lost and found than Capernaum was. And He wants us to go with Him, out to seek all the ones who are lost, all the ones who are lonely, all the ones who desperately need love and forgiveness, and to share with them the remarkable and life-changing news that they are seen and they are known and they are found by God. Sharing the good news, being, to use a four-letter word, evangelical, is not about trying to grow our membership numbers. It's not about scorekeeping with the other churches in town. It's not about budget growth or fiscal strategy. It's about wanting others to be found like we have been found, wanting others to experience what we've experienced, wanting others to know love like we have known love. If we think that having a beautiful, idyllic church is enough to attract others here, if we think that everyone who yearns for the love and acceptance of God will eventually find us on their own, if we think that just existing here in all of our lovely ecclesiastical refinement will truly be enough to say with sincerity that we have shared the good news of the gospel of Christ with our community, then we will be about as effective as the missionaries in Maasai land. 100 years, folks. 100 years. We must instead be brave, like Father Vincent. We must be brave enough to follow Jesus beyond the comfortable confines of our campus. You may know where the lost and found is located, but I tell you, there are a lot of others who don't. They don't know. They don't know where to go looking to find love and meaning. They don't know where to find the things that they're missing in their lives. They don't know that even now Jesus is seeking them, looking for them all the time, that they're actually not really all that lost at all. They may just need someone like you, someone with the courage to share a bit of good news. The good news. My friends, Jesus has left the safety and comfort of Capernaum. So, will you follow Him? And all of God's people said, Amen.